Hello, everyone. Let me know if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Yes, yes, yes. Loud and clear. Awesome. I don't know what was going on the other day, but all right. We're going to get started. I already see a bunch of hands raised. But I have a few shout outs for people. I'm looking for y'all. I'm looking for you. Let's see. I'm looking for Nancy that posted about Stacy. If you want to get coached, raise that hand. Nancy, she posted about considering weight loss surgery, and we really encouraged her to get on this call. So, Nancy, if you're here, raise your hand. Tracy Bainham, if you're here, raise your hand. And Marvette. I know Marvette got a little bit of homework from Corinne on Sunday. And Corinne told her to get on here with me and talk about her work stuff. So, Marvette, if you're on here, raise your hand too. So, but we'll start with Rebecca. She was first in line. And we'll just go on down the line. Okay, I need to have a piece of paper to make a note of who I coached. And then we'll get started. At least names. Okay, Rebecca, you are on. Hey.
Okay.
I can't hear you.
It says you've unmuted me. My volume is up.
I'm unmuted on my side.
You still can't hear me?
Look in your settings and see. Let me unmute you again.
Okay. How's that?
No. I'm going to send you out and then come back. Okay. Look at your settings and stuff.
I sure will. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And y'all in the comments, help her. Oh, you can hear Rebecca. Oh my gosh, that's so weird. Okay, let me try Monica. See, it may be a problem on my side. Sorry, Rebecca. Wait a minute. Do I have my freaking mute on? Okay. Y'all, hi. It's like it is just... No, that's a thought. I was going to say it's always something, but that is not a good thought for me to have. So, Rebecca, let me just tell Rebecca she'll be up next because I think I had my computer on mute. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Technology.
I know. It's always an interesting challenge. So, okay, what's up?
Okay, so I'm up here in Michigan, and I usually have really good habits during my work day because I go to work, I have my packed lunch and all that. Well, I've been kind of snowed in the past couple of days, and I've been using it as an excuse to eat off plan and eat over my hunger scale. And I've been doing really, really well the past few weeks of sticking to my plan and my hunger scale, and I was just doing really well. But these past couple of days, because I'm not in my habits, it's just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when you're not in your normal environment and you go to your old thoughts of, oh, I used to do this all the time, so let's just keep doing it.
Okay. So let's work on a thought that you can apply to any time that you are out of your habits, right? I mean, because things are going to happen. So, I mean, it would even be interesting for you to make a list. Like, what could happen? You know, just think of everything that you could think of to happen. I mean, you know, you get sick, somebody else gets sick, you know, there's a snowstorm, everything that you could think of that would get you out of your habits, mm-hmm. and what you could think about it instead of, you know, here we go, I'm off the rails.
Right.
So what can you think about to, that will lead you, you know, think about the model, right? Because I know you've been around for a little while. So how do you want to think about it to keep you on plan?
So I've tried to come up with a couple of thoughts, and today was I did a lot of the future self work today because that's what we're working on. And so I was trying to use the thought of Phoenix, who is my future self, wouldn't be just randomly going to the pantry because she's bored or wants comfort, you know, trying to think of that. But, and that worked for a little bit, but then I just went back more of like fog habit, went back and ate anyways. So I'm thinking of maybe trying to find a way of making it more conscious. I'm also reading that book, Atomic Habits, and it talks about putting like friction. My pantry's out in the open though, and it's like, geez, I must be losing my voice. My pantry in the kitchen is like all open, and I don't know of a good way to like put a friction barrier that would be harder and make me think and not just automatically go there. Thoughts?
And here's the deal. Let me, because you're familiar with the model, right? A little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the deal, because I think what you're looking for is a way to avoid some discomfort. I mean, are you looking for a way to make it easy?
I'm not necessarily. I'm looking for a way to notice it more, because when that point, I am not noticing it.
Okay. Well, that's easier. I mean, you could literally, like, when a snowstorm comes up, when you get sick or whatever, you put sticky notes on every one of your kitchen cabinets.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you're talking about that friction, it's something like, do that. Set alarms on your phone to, you know, like, just because we're at home today doesn't mean we're out of our routine. You know, some sort of thought. And that's where I was getting with the thought. It's something like, you know, this is not, I mean, it could even be like, and that's how this could kind of apply to everything. It's like, this is not a reason for me to go off plan.
Right.
And this can mean snowstorm. It can mean anything that might come up to get you out of your routine. But this is not an excuse for me to go off plan. I don't, do you think maybe you're having a thought like, I deserve to go off plan because I'm stuck in the house?
sorry. I noticed earlier, before I went to the pantry the first time, I was sitting there thinking to myself, why am I going to go off plan? And my first thought was, it's windy and blustery. I want to be comfortable in my nice, warm, cozy house, you know?
Yeah. And you can, like, I mean, another thing is like, what does weather have to do with what food I put in my body?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really, what does anything have to do with what I choose to put in my body, what I've put on my plan, what I know I'm going to eat today? There's no connection, no correlation at all.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of talk, you know, and it's like over and over and over again, probably, because again, you're kind of in this same environment, but I mean, you can definitely kind of, you know, switch up your, you know, kind of come up with some pattern interrupts and come up with, like you said, that friction. I mean, that's all the same thing. Where it's just
when I could take that thought and I could stick it right here on my monitor, so I see it all day.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that can help with, you know, on weekends when you're not on your, you know, Monday through Friday routine. So yeah, it's just all that kind of stuff that just, you know, kind of, again, gets you back into consciousness. Cause that's exactly, I mean, you're exactly right. That's what needs to happen, is that you got to get yourself back into, you know, just kind of jolt yourself back into, you know, consciousness and out of that fog.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, but for you, I mean, think about this comfort thing. You keep saying it's comfort, right? But is it really comfort? Is food really comfort? You know, it's that immediate, and then it's like even worse than it was before, right? It's like, quit even saying, you know, quit even using the word comfort when you talk about food, because it's just not true. And even if it's like temporary comfort, it's really not even. It's just like a hit. It's like a, you know, it's like a hit of drugs. And so if we, you know, if we decide that it's not really comfort that I'm getting from food, then, you know, just kind of take that out of your language, out of your vocabulary.
I found myself, it's actually more work because then you just got to go write another recovery worksheet.
You got to write a recovery worksheet. You got to, you know, lose those pounds again or whatever, you know, in terms of just like, yeah, it's totally more work. And yeah. And the recovery worksheet for sure is part of it. So yeah. So you're right on track. It's just a matter of kind of putting in a few little interrupts to kind of knock you back into consciousness.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. You think you're good?
Yeah.
All right. Stay warm.
It's supposed to, with the wind chill, get it down to the negative 30s.
Oh my God. And so I'm in Arkansas and it's like 25 here and, you know, I'm just dying. So I cannot imagine you guys up there. So stay warm, but not with food, just with just your thought. Yes. Yeah. But that's the other thing. I mean, that's another thing really. I mean, seriously, it's like, okay, how can I comfort myself in other ways? You know, really redefine your, you know, rethink your definition of comfort. That would be really interesting, really interesting journaling to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay, Rebecca.
Can you try it again?
There we are.
Yay. Sorry. That's all right. I tell you, I'm overwhelmed at the idea of negative 30.
Oh my gosh.
Houston, and that just sounds like not even a temperature. I can't even imagine.
I know. It's like, how does that even feel? I don't even think you feel when you go outside. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the summer heat seems much better now that I've heard something like that. So I joined in January. I have done a 24-hour plan every day since I've joined. So I'm getting good at, they are a good habit. I'm getting better at making them realistic. And I followed them all but 3 days since I joined until this weekend. I had a great weigh-in on Friday. And I went out of town Saturday through Monday. And I had several overeats each day, both off-plan food and past my two. Okay. And then I felt like once I started having them, I had a hard time stopping. And that's really what I'm looking for is help. How do I stop sooner? Like, I mean, best case, yes, I wouldn't have any. But right now, first, how do I stop after that first overeat? How do I change my thinking? What do I need to do a model on? Because I'm very new to all of this. After I've had that overeat. So I just have the one and I stop. Yeah. And then I have a little bit of water weight to lose and not 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really, I mean, you know, it sounds like you're new, but you're familiar with, you know, the thought work a little bit.
Yeah, I am doing the all of the modules.
Okay.
And the very last one. So,
okay. First off, and speaking of the last one, Taking Control talks about the recovery worksheet. So
and because everybody's been talking about them on Facebook. So, I took a whole stack with me and I thought, ha, ha, ha. Well, I needed every blank in one of those recovery worksheets.
Okay.
So I did one for each thing.
Okay.
And I have a little stack going.
Okay. So what did you learn from those?
I learned, I went out of town to a place where, we have a family member that is, not in great health. And so there's a lot of emotion tied up there. And I did learn that I needed to make a less stringent 24-hour plan than I even thought.
Why?
Because I was already dealing with the emotion of being there. And not that I wanted comfort food, but that might not have been the time to level up traveling for the first time since I've joined. Like, okay. You know, like a lot of people, travel is one of those times where I would just say, well, I'm traveling, you know, I'm just going to have whatever. Even if I'm having salad for lunch at home, I whatever, because I'm traveling. So maybe that wasn't the right time to try and level that up. And
okay. So, yeah, that, and the reason I asked why was because, you know, you want to like your reason for not deciding not to level up. And for especially you new gals that are, you know, just new at this, you're just starting out. I mean, you can literally just put on your plan, like when you're traveling, when you're out of your normal routine, you can say, I'm going to, you know, follow the, I'm just going to do the four basics. I'm going to follow the hunger scale, hunger, sleep, and then just make the best choices I can wherever we are, wherever we go. I mean, it does not have to be any more specific than that.
Okay.
So that's one thing, but that's still kind of the, you know, the action line, what we're talking about. And that's important, but I want to go back to what you learned about your thoughts that led to that first overeat.
The very first one. So I'm looking at my recovery worksheets, which is why I am over here. And
for everybody, this is why we do recovery worksheets, because you want this data of, you know, what was going on, what you were thinking, what situation you were in, so that you can go.
That first one, I put that I learned that right now I don't need to be testing myself to see if I can do as well while I'm traveling as I can at home. I should have planned particular exceptions or planned more generally, like you're saying.
Okay.
And I had complete control over my food. So it wasn't even that, like, oh, these people took me to a restaurant. I didn't feel comfortable saying I'm not hungry. It was not that. I mean, I drove places to go get things. It was ridiculous.
Okay. So then that wasn't the thought. Then there was another thought there, like, you know, this is highly emotional. I need comfort. I need, what was really going on there? If it wasn't your plan. So that's not the problem.
Right.
So what was going on there that, you know, what were you thinking that caused you to go drive around and get whatever you wanted?
Gosh, and, you know, I mean, I understand that I was worried about the health issues going on. But it didn't feel like comfort eating. It felt almost defiant, you know, like I was not by this bakery. I drove to the bakery. I sat in front of the bakery and I talked myself into going in while I was in line. I talked myself into not just getting a cookie, but also getting other things.
Okay. So from a feeling of defiance, so that's the feeling, right?
Right.
So there's a thought before that comes before that in the model. So it's like, is it something like, I deserve this? I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm just, this is too much for me. This is stressful.
This is stressful.
This is stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, and is it, this is stressful. I need some, what did you think?
Not the anything for me. You know what it is? You know what it is? The situation is that I have to be for everybody else there. And I wanted something for me.
Okay.
And see, I wrote and wrote and wrote on these recovery worksheets and I didn't get to that. You're very good.
That's what I'm here for.
That's why I was in line.
Okay. So, but you know, but you could see this process, right? It took us a while to get there.
Yeah.
And that's where you're kind of, you know, in your work, that's where you just have to work to kind of dig deeper. And it's like, okay, what, you know, I was thinking this, but what was underneath that? And again, you know, we're always here to help with that, but it just takes practice to just kind of peel back the layers and really figure out this is like, okay, so this is something for me.
Yeah.
What it was?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you said, you know, you also said, and this is where I really want you to write. I want you to write, do a whole thought download on this. So I'm like, this is for me. I'm always doing things for other people or what you just said. Yeah. And I want you to watch back.
I will. Yeah.
And kind of listen to the whole process of how you got here. But yeah, so that is something that, you know, probably is coming out, you know, in other areas and just, you know, yeah. really something for you to explore. So your action is to overeat.
Yes, it was.
And then the result is that, so let's just say this is travel. Or it could be, you know, it could be the day or, you know.
Yeah, it was to travel to the specific place that this happens.
But it could also be, you know, a specific, you know, you want your C to be as specific as possible. I mean, the travel is pretty broad, or even like I'm in this town or whatever. You want to think of was it a specific thing that happened in terms of someone said something, someone did something, something happened that really led to this?
The reason for my travel was to go and to help. And so I had to set aside what I was glad to do it, but I had to set aside what I was doing for me. I didn't go, my husband is working in Kentucky right now. I did not go and see him. Mm-hmm. Instead, I went to go and do this. Mm-hmm. And so there's all of that.
Yeah. And those are all, and those are all kind of in this thought line, right?
Yeah. Where, yes.
And it's like, because still the C was, you could even put the C as just, I chose to do this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the C is totally, what's so powerful about the circumstance is, you know, it's totally neutral. And so you can just totally see like, in black and white, what the situation is. So you chose to do this. You chose to travel and do whatever. Right. And then what your choices, you know, can kind of lead to. How they can kind of, you know, play themselves out. And so your result, so this is something for me, you feel defiant, you overeat. And then the result is that, you know, you get something for yourself.
Yeah.
But it's not what you.
It wasn't what I wanted. Right. Okay. And so on the worksheets, there's the unintentional, which would be this, and then the intentional model. So how do I look at this then and change it to an intentional model?
Okay. So again, you have the same C. You always have the same C. And so you can start anywhere in the model to work on your intentional model.
Okay.
But the other thing is you don't want to move too quickly to, you know, you don't want to just move too quickly to just change it. You want to really kind of come to a place of acceptance for this and not beating yourself up over it and not just, and not say, you know, these were all just choices that you made.
Right.
And you can learn from them and move forward. And it's not a, you know, it's again, just that I think is so important for everybody, is to just not try to move too quickly and just switch your thoughts real quick.
Okay.
Because you're wanting to get away from this model. If you want, if you're feeling like you want to get away from the model, you're not ready. You've got to just let it, like, this is me and these are choices I made and that's okay.
Right.
And this is something that I want to not beat myself up over. I want to learn from it and figure out what I can do to move forward and do something different next time. Okay. But, and I don't even know if in the recovery worksheet, if it really even talks, that's really kind of the purpose of it, is to just, mm-hmm. you know, work on seeing it as just, you know, something to learn from. But, yeah, so that's the reason. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, and those are helpful, mm-hmm. but I didn't get to this.
Yeah.
So this, there's going to be a whole bunch of writing on this.
Yeah. Okay. So you, like I said, you can start anywhere in the model for your intentional model. Like,
I don't mind leaving the thought the same. I don't think there's anything wrong with me saying that I'm going to do something for me in this situation.
That, so. Exactly. It's like that. Probably the only thing, well, you want to, yeah.
I mean, it seems awfully angry. Like,
I need to do something for me, but you definitely want to change this.
Uh-huh.
Probably don't want to feel defiant.
Right.
And then obviously you want to change this.
Yeah.
And then Yeah, but that's really, I mean, that's kind of interesting, right? That it's just like not even necessarily the thought that needs to change. It's just the feeling and the action.
Yes.
And because, I mean, you know, you do deserve to do things for yourself and that, you know, and to take care of you and to have, you know, self-care and all that kind of stuff. So what feeling would you like, you know, what place would you like to come from to still, you know, think this same thought?
Caring.
Mm-hmm. Caring for yourself.
Yeah.
It could also be, you know, loving to yourself, compassionate, you know, self-compassionate, awesome. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then, so what are some other ways, let's say you were just right back at that same situation, that you could have cared for yourself? And
all right. So if I'm right there in San Antonio, they've got great museums. They have a couple of my favorite little indie bookstores. They have a fun, cute little zoo.
And it could, I mean, and it could involve food, but it could be like, I need to fuel my body to, you know, to be able to, you know, be the best that I can be for what I've chosen to do here.
Right.
You know, so it's like choose foods that are, you know, are fuel for you.
Okay. And so if I had said, so they have just a fabulous gelato shop right there. If I had said, planned that as an exception and put this, having just something that's a little unusual treat that I don't have where I am, is that something that,
well, again, you want to like your reason, right? You want to like your reason for making that choice. And so does it come from a place of, you know, it definitely should be planned at least 24 hours in advance. I mean, that's just, you know.
Okay. You know, I didn't know if it was better to stay away from the food altogether or the...
Well, the whole thing is, you know, okay, what are you going to make it mean? Are you going to make it mean that I'm just, you know, I'm having a treat that I really enjoy and, you know, as long as, you know, or is it, could it lead to something else? Could it,
okay,
you know,
okay.
It's the whole thing about you just want to like your reason for making your choices because you can do whatever you want to do. But why would you eat that? You want to ask yourself in your journaling, why would I choose to eat this gelato, you know, and your reasons and like, just list every reason that comes up. I mean, cause it could start off with, you know, I deserve it and I deserve a treat and I've done so well, you know, and it's just like coming up with a reason that you like, because it's totally fine to have that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But you want that to come from a place that, you know, that's in the A line. And so you want it to come from a place that you...
That feeling needs to be in the right place.
And it may not necessarily be caring, you know, caring for yourself, the gelato, but like, where do you want, you know, what place do you want to be at mentally and emotionally to eat that? And then be like, okay, you know, I ate that, I enjoyed it, and now I'm, you know, moving forward.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. Super, super interesting to think about that. So, okay. So, but yeah, but ultimately, you know, you want to think about this result, that the result that you want from all of this. And so it's like, you know, I take care of myself. I, you know, put myself first when I need to, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's a way that you could like, you could do all kinds of models with that as the result line.
And go back and go up
the model.
Okay.
All kinds of different circumstances, right? And just, you know, like the possibilities are endless in terms of what you could work on, because you can, you know, really start thinking about how in all these different circumstances, how you can work on putting yourself where you want to be in the situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. This is like a load off my shoulders. And so,
well, you, I mean, you did your work in terms of those recovery worksheets, and then you asked really good questions. You know, right now this was just a really fun coaching session, just because you were really open to, you know, to the feedback and stuff. So,
well, thank you. You've helped me with something that's been a big issue okay. for the last semester and a half. So thank Good. You so much.
All I right. appreciate it. I'm glad we got you working.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Amanka, let's get you going. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, I guess.
Yeah. What's up?
I wasn't sure if I was going to do a coaching call because I posted on the Facebook group probably like an hour ago.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I remember our last conversation, we talked about me having goals and kind of like focusing on the weight loss because I felt like that was, I wasn't perfect, but I felt like I was getting a good handle on mm-hmm. it, and I wanted to add something else to kind of see how I'm doing. But I feel like since then, I'm actually like really struggling.
Okay.
And I felt like I'm not sure if I prematurely like added, you know, another goal, but since then I've been like kind of at a standstill, and I overate like all weekend, and I kind of know I'm going to have a gain this week, but I'm at this point, it's just how much damage did I do?
Well, and quit calling it damage, because it's just something that happens, right? It's like something to figure out. It's something to learn from, you know? I'm remembering our last conversation. You were like, well, I think I got the weight loss stuff dialed in. So why do you think you're overeating?
I think is when I add like real life into the equation. I feel like if I were to have a bubble and just focus on just P&P, I can see results, but that's not my reality.
And that's not anybody's reality, right?
Yeah, but
it's
I feel like
nobody can live in a bubble like that. So it's like we got to figure this out, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So have you ever had a time where you were doing the weight loss thing great and you were living life?
I don't think so.
Okay. So this is new. So this is just something new to figure out, right?
Yeah. And that's what frustrated me, because I felt like, oh, this is a plan that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like while I was doing the modules, it's like I could, I was grasping it. So I was like, oh yeah, like I'm excited. Like this actually seems realistic. I can do it. And I didn't feel overwhelmed by the process. So I said, okay, let me try to add my real life into the equation. Mm-hmm. And since then I've just been like, okay, well, I'm back to square one. And
it's now, almost like we need to work on your thinking around the four basics, because the thing about like this, you know, our plan is that it, like, you know, we talk about like it gives you freedom, right? Like, because it is so simple.
Yeah.
Because it is just, you know, like these four things you have to do, then that can be a part of your life that is just like set and done. And then you can focus on other things, because I know you're working on things in your career and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So why, but I want to go back to this overeat. Like what have you, did you do a recovery worksheet on this overeat that you mm-hmm. mentioned? Okay. So what did you learn? What was like, what thoughts were going on there?
I think it's, I mean, my thought was kind of like what led me to, sign up is, like, maybe I don't necessarily have a as good a grasp, so maybe I should kind of slow it down even more and just go back to go back to basics.
Yeah.
And just do, you know, the eating 2-2, like drinking my water and all that stuff. And then not put as much pressure on myself on the other things, even as I said that, I was like, but even though that's my goal, like I have to like not kind of get so ahead of myself,
mm-hmm.
because then and that's what gets me like overwhelmed and then like forget about it, which is, it's such a stupid thing
to do. Okay, so let's I'm gonna kind of push you a little bit here. So you're feeling overwhelmed. What is the thought that's coming that's leading to you to feel overwhelmed? When you have your basics and then you kind of start to live life too.
I feel like I'm unable to lose weight and have other goals or achieve other goals. I can't have it all, or I can't have it both.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's just say I can't do both.
Yeah, I can't, because I have it all is a very big statement.
But we're talking about weight loss and career right now, right? Those are the both things.
Yeah, I think it's weight loss and. It's always, that's pretty much what it is. Like, if it's weight loss and something else, it just
notice that this is just a thought you're having.
Yeah.
That it's not a fact. And so, I mean, you have a choice. I'm not going to tell you what to do in terms of, I mean, you can totally just focus on weight loss until you get to your goal, right? I mean, you can totally do that. Or you can do, let's just say that you wanted to do your weight loss and your career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could totally do that too. You would just have to change your thought about it to, I can do both. I mean, that's literally all it takes. And I was looking in your post that you did about your career and stuff a couple of days ago. And it was like, you're seeing it so factually, no, I've talked to all these people and, they only just do this stuff for fun. They don't get paid to do it and all that kind of stuff. But it still just leads you to a thought that you're having, I can't have this as a career. But that's not a fact. Tell me what you're thinking. Argue with me.
I'm a pacifist. I just feel like I do so much planning and researching and so many all these things. So if that's not true, then why did I spend so much time researching and asking teachers and stuff like that. I just feel like it's not.
Because you're looking for evidence outside of yourself to prove your thought true that, I can't do this. You're looking for that, that result of, of course I can't do this. Let's use Corinne for an example. Do you think she actually believed she would be making, millions of dollars teaching people to lose weight at first? She believed it, but she didn't have any evidence outside of herself. And she just kept doing stuff. And we talked about what you need to do in terms of your YouTube and all that kind of stuff. She just kept doing stuff and trying stuff and failing over and over again. And then she just kept going because it was her passion and that's what she wanted to do. And she believed that she was going to get there no matter what. And she didn't have a direct path. And so it's like, but when you are asking people, it's almost like you need to quit asking people and just be like, I'm going to be the different one. I'm going to be the one that makes it. And I'm just going to keep trying stuff until I get there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying that's easy to do. I'm not saying, but it's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be comfortable. And it's supposed to be scary and make you kind of nauseous. But it's like, if that's what you really want, then that's what it takes to get there.
But then at what point is it like a pipe dream?
When you decide it is. That's all a pipe. This is a pipe dream is totally just a thought that you decide to have. It's not in the C line. It's in your T line. I mean, Amaka could literally be the only person on this planet who makes money doing improv. I mean, you could just believe that in your bones and not have any evidence to prove it. You could just walk around believing that all you wanted. And you just keep doing stuff and you keep taking classes, you keep doing YouTube videos, and you just keep, you figure out what doesn't work, you keep going. And I mean, it's all about deciding, do you want it that bad?
I do. I'm just, I guess when people tell me that if I get anxious about it, that means I want it bad. But then I don't think I want it bad enough because I'm not doing anything about it.
Yeah, because you got to keep taking action. no matter what, no matter how you're think what, you know, how you're feeling, you keep doing action no matter what. And that's where I think you get, it's like, you think you need to feel a certain way before you can take the action. You know, it's like, oh, I need to, you know, I need to not be overwhelmed. I need to, you know, not feel anxious about it. And it's like, nope, I just do it anyway. I just keep going.
Yeah.
And I mean, and eventually over time, you know, the more that you try and fail, the more that you like keep taking act. Because you can, here's the thing about overwhelm. You cannot experience overwhelm when you are in action. Like those two things cannot coexist. So when you have just said, okay, I'm going to like, when you feel overwhelm, when you think I can't do both, you feel overwhelm. And then you're like, nope, I'm going to just like start getting on this YouTube and doing a few videos. You will find that you're not feeling overwhelmed anymore because you're actually doing something. Okay. And I mean, and then that will, like, when you're not feeling overwhelmed anymore, you're in action. You're not worried about overeating. You're not worried about all this weight loss stuff over here. Cause that's like, you know what you need to do over there. Yeah. And that's where that freedom comes in. It's like, you know how to lose weight. You know what you need to do over there. You know, you don't even have to worry about failing over there if you don't want to on the weight loss side. And so now I'm going to just focus on this career stuff and just, you know, practice failing with this. And, you know, you'll mess up over on the weight loss side too, but you know, from experience over there, you can fail and still be successful with weight loss. It's the same thing with your career. Okay. I know I've thrown a lot out at you.
No, I need it because this is getting ridiculous. How much I just keep like hemming and hawing about.
Yes. And I think for you, and this is something I've experienced where it's like, I tend to kind of overanalyze. I mean, as a coach, I can do thought downloads and models and stuff all day long. But there comes a time when you just got to get into action and get uncomfortable with it and just not even know what you're doing, not even know if it's going to work, but you just keep going and you just keep doing stuff and keep trying stuff.
That's the scary part.
And it's scary. It's totally scary. But you want it, you know, and fear is okay. And, you know, fear is okay. Like if you just keep going with it, you don't want to live in fear and not do it, you know, and that's where you are right now.
Yeah.
And you want to like have a reason to just keep going into action. And I'm looking at the, somebody said uncomfortable action is where it's at. That's what Christy said.
Uncomfortable action.
I mean, it's like, woohoo, uncomfortable action. But yeah, that is the only way that we are going to get to our dreams is to be uncomfortable and to have discomfort.
Yeah.
And so, and him and Holland is comfortable, you know, and getting on coaching calls. And I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm, but it's like, there just is only so much talking and stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Until it's like, I got to get to work. And just see what happens.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is about, it's not even about like, I think for you, it's like you have this ultimate goal in mind of, you know, making money as a, you know, making money in your career and stuff. But a lot of times setting goals is not necessarily about reaching the goal. It's the person that you become on the way to that goal. And for you, I mean, think about yourself like a year from now. Think about if you just decided to get into action right now today. Think about how different of a person you would be a year from now, even if you still weren't, you know, making a lot of money in your career and stuff like that. But if you were just doing the stuff that I know you love to do and you had your YouTube channel and you're taking classes and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, it's all about the person that we want to become. And then over time, you know, our goals kind of change, you know, when we, you know, become this different person. But it's like, we have to start somewhere. So we have to, you know, focus on a goal and then, but then just get into action.
Yeah, I have to just do it.
Just do it. They were joking with me about at camp about, because I'm the person that's, you know, I'm the coach that's always just like, just do it. But I say that because I know that's a lot of times that's the only way. And I know that because that's me.
Yeah.
And I want everything to be, you know, I want to have all the right thoughts and feelings at first. I want everything to be in this perfect, you know, situation before I get started. And that's just not the way life is. And I, luckily I've experienced it and I've just gotten through that discomfort and I'm like, okay, this is what it's going to take. You know, this is what it's going to take for me to lose weight. This is what it's going to take for me to become a coach, is for me to just go through all this discomfort and I'll be like this amazing growing person in the process.
Okay.
So what actions? What are some actions? Is this what you want to do?
In terms of like the YouTube or just...
Whatever. I mean, that's question number one. Is this a goal that you want to, you want bad enough that you will do no matter how many times you fail, no matter how hard it gets?
Yeah, I think in the past, the answer is yes. I think in the past it was, oh, I want it so bad. So the anxiety was like a good sign for me, you know, like, oh, it means I want it bad enough, but maybe I need to switch it in terms of, okay, if I want it bad enough, I need to actually just do it now and focus my energy on that instead of saying, oh, my anxiety is the reason why I want to make it perfect. Therefore,
anxiety, I think, is like, it's similar to discomfort, right? It's like, I just wouldn't worry about the feelings because, again, you're not going to probably have a lot of great feelings at first. It's like, you got to earn the, you know, just like with motivation, you know, with weight loss and stuff, you got to earn those feelings with your actions. Mm-hmm. And so for you, like, you got to earn, you know, earn these feelings in all the action that you take.
Okay.
And you know what actions you want to take, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that before. So it's just a matter of, you know, of deciding what you want to do, you know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever, committing to it. And I swear it will be amazing. Like, come back and talk to me like next time I'm on here, because, and I want you to, you know, you can be accountable to me. You can be accountable to somebody else if you have an accountability partner, but it's just like, okay, I'm going to take daily action. I mean, it's literally like, it could be like 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. I'm going to do some sort of action to move me towards my goal.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come back and talk about it and, you know, reassess at that point. But, you know, it's just like, it doesn't take much, because the important thing is that you got to just like feel the discomfort and do it anyway. That's the practice that needs to happen over and over and over again.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you next time.
Okay, thank you
so much. Find me on the calendar. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'm looking at the comments. Sorry. All kinds of interesting conversation in the chat here. Okay, I'll look back at that in a minute. Christy. All right. Christy, are you there? I can't hear you. There you are. Say something. Oh, I can't hear you though. Is your mute on? I can't hear you. Did you do your mute? unmute. Are you there? Okay, I'm gonna take you back out. See if you can figure out your audio, okay? Okay. Hopefully she can figure that out. Okay, Jessica. And Chrissy, just come back on and we can try and figure it out again. Hi, hold on. Oh, there you are. Okay. I think we were pressing buttons at the same time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I've been looking at my progress so far. Uh-huh. That I have a really good week, and then I kind of gain a little bit. Like, I'll lose like 2-4 pounds, and I'll gain like 1 to 2 pounds like every other week.
Okay. So what do you think's going on? So you're seeing a pattern.
Yeah.
You're recognizing a pattern, so that's a good thing, right? That's a win. So what do you think is going on? What?
So I find that it's like basically clockwork that every other Saturday. I'm sorry, my dogs.
Okay.
I don't write a plan, which like I can handle that because, you know, I'm on a recovered worksheet and I know that like I have to plan every single time. Okay. But the reason I feel like that is because I spend like all day thinking about, you know, whether I'm tired. I mean, whether I'm hungry or like, am I hungry enough to eat yet? Like, is this bike going to put me past my 2? Like, so I just feel like mentally exhausted by the end of the week that I feel like I need a break.
You need a break. Yeah. You need a break on Saturdays. Yeah. So that is totally normal. I mean, like, because how long have you been at this so far?
I just joined in January.
Okay. So give yourself, you know, give yourself some time. Because it is, I mean, you're totally doing something new, right? You've done something. I know the sound isn't great. I don't know what's going on, but. I'm just gonna keep talking, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's that too.
Yeah, so you've been at it, so it's January 29th. You've been at this for less than a month.
Yeah.
So it's just like totally. Oh, you got your headphones on. Okay. How's that? Say something. Can you say something? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can
okay.
You hear me?
Okay. I love all those dogs back there. Yeah, so you've just been doing something for a month. And so it's new. It's, I mean, think about it. You've done something for a month, and then you have done something different for the last, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24 years. So it's like, okay, this is going to be exhausting at first. This is going to be more work at first. But Saturday is part of the deal. You know, and and Saturday is probably different than maybe Monday through Friday too, in terms of, you know, your routine or your schedule, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. It's just like, you know, you're seeing Saturday is different, but you can plan for Saturday just like you can every other day. So it's just a matter of just doing it in terms of, just committing to plan, because you're seeing the pattern, and it's good that you're being honest with yourself. I mean, you're totally seeing it, like, this is the issue. That's good news. You know what you need to work on. And, you know, you can, it's like, it's kind of getting your brain to work on, like, how can I make Saturdays easy?
Yeah. So I feel like I have that under control.
Okay.
Like, I know I need a plan. You know, I know I go off track, you know, when I'm at my parents' house and, you know, I'm doing things I don't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just know I need to write down a plan going forward. But I feel like I shouldn't be thinking this much, like, all day long. I feel like I'm thinking all day long about you know, what I'm eating and stuff. Is that just, do you think it's,
okay, here's something else you could do. So, I mean, because you do get into, you know, into routines and patterns, right? I want you to go back and look at your plans for the last, you know, for the last month. And do you see patterns of, like, do you write down the time that you eat?
Yeah. I mean, I did at first. Now I've been doing a little less. I should probably keep writing.
Yeah. So it's just like, go ahead.
Eat at a normal time. I don't usually write the time. If I'm eating at an unusual time, then I usually notice.
But is it usually like a pretty common time that you eat every day?
Yeah. I usually have noon around 12:30. I have lunch when I'm at work, and then, you know, when I get home from work, I usually get home around like 6:30.
Yeah.
And then I make dinner, and you know, normally, I mean, I've been waiting. So like the weeks that I do really well, I wait to eat until I'm actually hungry. But then I feel like I'm spending all night thinking about, am I hungry yet? Oh no, I'm not hungry yet. Okay, I have to wait a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the second week, I feel like I just want to eat when I get home.
Okay. So you're finding that that's not working for you, though. But here's something that you could do. First off, it's just, you know, you're at the beginning. There's going to be more thinking involved. That's number one. Second is, you could, like, set an alarm on your phone, and you could say, okay, every 30 minutes, I'm going to reassess my hunger. You know, I'm not going to do it every night. I'm just going to, you know, set an alarm and do it.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, I can hear you fine, but I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Just call me.
So let's just keep going.
Okay.
So it's like set an alarm on your phone and then keep yourself busy doing something else. Maybe playing with your dogs.
Yeah, right. They need to get some energy out.
Yes. So, I mean, seriously, like, I am going to go walk the dogs, and I'm not going to think about my hunger scale for another 30 minutes, you know? And it's like, and I mean, that's going to take time. That's going to take time and practice for you to kind of, you know, you're still going to have to redirect your brain at first. But when you're busy doing something else, you know, you're not thinking. And it's like, it's okay if you, you know, get a little, if you go past even like to negative three or something every once in a while. But it's like, it's, you know, it's like living your life and doing other things you need to be doing and then not totally focusing on, oh, I need to eat exactly when I'm at negative two, because you'll be fine if you get, you know, go a little bit over. But yeah, it's like when you get home from work, kind of planning some activities, like, I know I'm not going to, I don't need to eat right when I get home. So what other things do I need to do where I could kind of interrupt my normal pattern and keep myself busy until I know when I'm probably going to be getting hungry and being at a negative two, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So it's just like, but it's all about, you know, it's all about practice and stuff, but it's that whole thing of, I mean, for you, again, the good news is that you've recognized what's working and what isn't working. You just need some more time to just kind of dial it in. But it's also that fear, like, you don't, I mean, I don't know if you have fear of getting overly hungry.
So at first I didn't. And so I spent like a week kind of restricting myself, not on purpose, but I was like, oh, you know, if I get a little hungry, it's fine. But then, you know, I just kept being like, oh, I was a little hungry, so, you know, that wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. But then I was, like, getting nauseous and, like, going too far. And I was like, all right, this isn't working for me. Yeah. So then I'm trying, you know, not to get that far.
Right. And so now it's like, that's all good news, because now you know, like, okay, when I get to feeling like this, but again, that's going to happen sometimes. It's just going to happen sometimes. You got other stuff going on. You're just, you know, busy doing other things or whatever. So it's all about just like, I am in this place of figuring this out. You're always going to be in a place of figuring it out. It's not going to be just figured out one day. And So that means, you know, you're just going to be conscious all the time, but you can, you know, you can figure out most patterns, you know, on a daily basis for the most part. And then you'll find that you're just thinking about it less and less. So just kind of, you know, just kind of be easy on yourself and know that you're going to, you know, this whole first, you know, several months or even longer, probably for a lot of people, it's just like, it is like you're mentally exhausted because you're so used, you were so used to just, you know, being unconscious and checking out, you know? So the other thing, important thing is to give yourself a break sometime. Just say, okay, I'm not going to think about, I'm going to like just, you know, go walk the dogs, or I'm going to watch a TV show and just zone out. But you want to do it from a place of like, I'm taking care of myself, I'm taking a break, I'm resting, and not, you know, from a place of like, that's going to create negative consequences for you, you know? And I mean, and that's a lot of times why we overeat, because we want to zone out. So you want to think of other ways that you can just kind of rest your brain, but they're healthier for you and better for you.
Okay.
So you got this. You're just right where you need to be in terms of just figuring all this out. And I mean, and that's why it's good to get good sleep and water, because it's like all this is connected in terms of like this consciousness can be, you know, can be exhausting. And so you want to be sure you're getting sleep and stuff, but it really does level out over time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've never paid this much attention to what my body is telling me. So, okay.
Yeah. So you're right where you need to be for sure.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Christy, let's see if we can get you talking.
Maybe.
Yay. Okay.
Yay. And I can hear you. Yay. I'm so happy.
Good. Okay. What's up?
Okay. So I think I've got myself in some kind of like thought loop or something, and I need help like untangling things. Mm-hmm. So I've decided to start trying to work on my thoughts regarding work and get my attitude better with work. So the feeling I'm trying to generate while at work is calm, because if I allow like this frenzied overwhelm, then it's the all roads lead to Rome thing where I end up, you know, eating or more likely to go off plan. Well, what I've realized is when I'm working on that and trying to, you know, focus my mind in the right places, then that starts to become like tiring. Like the trying to do the work of working on my thoughts with work is in itself feels like it's creating, you know, negative emotions that don't lend itself to the calm. Does that make sense?
Yes. I almost think what you're like, you could put like thought work up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, what are you thinking about your thought work that you're doing at work? Like, what are you thinking and feeling about that thought work at work? Like, this is too much. This is exhausting. How does that feel?
Exhausting. It's exhaustive. Yeah.
Okay. And then you don't work? You overeat?
I kind of give up at that moment on the thought work.
Okay. So,
because I feel like it takes up, because I work, I'm in intake at a psych hospital. So when it gets moving, you know, it's like an emergency room in a way, but with psych issues. So then it feels like my attention is kind of divided, which I can't really have, you know, I mean, because I've got a psychotic person that's like, you know.
So my attention is divided is your thought.
Okay. There we go. And I've tried TDLing on this, but I haven't.
So
that's what it is.
Okay. So I think we've, like give up on thought work. It's almost like, I want to go back to the model again that you are working on in terms of, you know, you want to feel calm, but something about your your work that you're doing there, you know, is creating this model, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah. It's like you're working too hard or something at it. So, okay. So let's go back to the other model.
Okay.
Now that we kind of figured this out.
Yeah.
And okay. So you want to feel calm. Does it work? Is it, a specific thing at work? I think it might be good to be real specific here on what you want to feel calm about.
There's a lot of things I want to feel calm mm-hmm. about. Especially when I have multiple patients at a time when, because at a certain time, everybody's gone and it's just me.
Okay.
I'm not doing working intake. So if I have multiple patients that I'm trying to process and assess alone, it feels.
Okay. Let's put that in the C line.
Okay.
Is that totally neutral, multiple patients at a time?
I mean, I think so. Cause okay. Like you can prove that like there's two or three patients there. So yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that, you know, that's just important for that to be like totally neutral. Right. So, okay. So let's do your unintentional model first. How is it going right now for you?
So multiple patients at a time. Usually my thought is fuck. Like, I mean, seriously, like that's the first thing that comes to mind. Okay.
So fuck what?
I guess it's fear. Like I get the feeling I get is like a fear-based feeling, not exactly like afraid, but you know, this tension of something bad could happen.
Something bad could happen.
Yeah. Cause I feel so responsible for them. I mean, and I am, you know,
okay, so I'm so responsible for them.
Yeah.
I think that's important for you to know that's your thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I could sit there, let's say I was watching you, you know, like work behind, pane of glass or something, and I could be like, you know, those patients are responsible for themselves. You know, I could think that.
Yeah.
You know, so I almost think I'm so, you know, I'm responsible for them. It's, you may be putting up in the C line sometimes.
But, okay, so how do I work through, because we're working in a hospital setting. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that is our job, is to be responsible for them to some extent. You know what I mean? I'm trying to work through that as far as where it's a circumstance and where it's not, you know?
And I definitely think that's some work for you to do just in terms of journaling and stuff. Like what are the real true facts?
Yeah.
What
they consider my responsibility.
And then in relation to like what could happen.
Yeah.
You know? And go ahead.
I mean, to some extent we are responsible because they're coming here because they're not necessarily to the point where they can be responsible for themselves. You know, like that's why they're at a psych hospital. But then where does that begin and end? Cause I think I've got to,
you know, focusing on you, right? Like, what are you making that mean? What are you making this mean? Like literally it could be patients, you know, come to hospital. And then what do you make that mean about you and your job and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that is I'm so responsible for them and, you know, something bad could happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it is fear. That's mm-hmm. what I go to. That is okay. And see, when I'm TDOing it, the place where I think I'm going to feeling wise is, oh man, I have to do work. Like, and it's like, and then I get down on myself, but when we do it this way, it's like, no, I don't, it's not that I mind doing work. It's that I get fearful that something bad is going to happen.
Work? You mean like work in your job at the hospital?
Yeah. Like, you know, but it's not that. It's not that I'm afraid that I'm going to have to work, actually mm-hmm. do something. It's that fear of something bad's going to happen. You know, somebody's going to try to commit suicide or they're going to die of an overdose, which has almost happened before, you know, because they'll overdose in the parking lot and then come mm-hmm. into the hospital and just dare you to let them die. You know, mm-hmm. of course they don't tell you that they've just overdosed. You got to figure that out yourself.
But I think it's important for you to go there, right? And to think like, what is the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
And what am I making that mean? I mean, it could be.
Oh God, yeah. Cause I always say if one of my patients died on me, I would die, you know, like I couldn't handle that. But I could, and I would. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, patient dies is up here in the C-line.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for you, if you're living, I mean, cause you're living in fear right now of something like that happening.
Oh my God. I have chills. Holy yeah. shit. Wow.
Yeah. And there are some, go back and look at some of the coaching calls. I'll see if I can find some too, where there are some, you know, some calls like this with other folks that work in the healthcare field.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's again, like that's a circumstance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This has really helped because I didn't realize I was coming from such a place of fear. Like it was, I've been working on this whole, like, oh, you're just mad because you actually have to do something instead of, and it's like, no, it's not fear.
No, I bet you like, I mean, don't you like working and helping people and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, if you can come from a place of, you know, whatever might work. I mean, you know, and this is, you know, on down the line in terms of like, you know, I'm here to control what I can control. And, you know, and in terms of, you know, myself and the work that I do and these people make their own choices and, you know, it's coming up with thoughts like that, where it's like, how awesome is this job where I get to help these people who, you know,
see, and that's what's been lost for me.
Yeah.
Is that feeling of why I got into social work in the first place. And you understand that,
yeah.
You know, we come to it cause we want to help people. And that's been so lost for me for so long, but it's because of this fear of, oh my gosh, that's huge.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it'd be really interesting for you to, this gives me chills. Cause I think like, I mean, go back to like when you were in school or like when you were first out of school and all that excitement and that, you know, it's almost like good that we were naive, you know,
we're going to save the world.
Yes. And it's like, how can I, you know, how can I get back to that with all the stuff that I've seen and done? And it may even be like, you know, really thinking of like specific patients that you worked with and, you know, really thinking about like successes that you experience. Because I mean, you know, our brain wants to immediately go to all the bad stuff, all that crap. And to, you know, what, and it's all about that, you know, gratitude and like, what's one thing that went right today and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you can do it on a daily basis, but you can also like, just look back at your career and be like, I remember when that happened and that happened, you know, because it's like,
one of the nurses even pointed out to me the other day, and I still don't remember it, but she's like, no, we had a patient that came in who had overdosed out in the parking lot and you're the one that caught it. Like everybody else didn't see it. And you're the only one that caught it. And we had to send them out 911 and it ended up saving their lives. And I'm like, I don't think that was me. She's like, no, damn it. I've got the notes. It was me.
Yeah.
but I remember all the other shit, right. You know? And I was arguing with her. I'm like, no, that wasn't me. She's like, yes, it was. I can prove it to you. We have written documentation.
So yeah, it's just like, you know, how am I a badass social worker? You know? Yeah. I mean, and yeah, and just reflecting back on your career and all of that kind of stuff. It's just like, we don't intentionally do that too.
Like this, and this boils down to my lack of confidence too. Like, damn, man, this is good stuff, Betsy. Okay.
Good. So you got your work to do. I mean, it's almost like in terms of kind of both ends of the spectrum, it's like, think about the worst that could happen. But also think about the good stuff that's happened, you know?
Well, and it comes down to the confidence of my, you know, I have the ability to handle both. Like, I would be able to figure it out and handle it. And, you know.
That's your power thought right there. Those are your power thoughts right there. You can always handle it because you have all this time. Yeah. But go there, you know, if a patient dies and just like, you know, you could handle that too. How do you want to think about it to handle it?
Yeah.
And so, you know, don't just wait for it to maybe happen.
Yeah.
You know, put yourself there and, you know, kind of your future self or, you know, there and just be like, I can handle this.
Yeah.
Because you know, you can.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keep us posted. All right. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Let's see. There was a little, let's see. Some good stuff going on in the chat, y'all. Stacy, I'll look at your comment in just a minute after I talk to Marvet. Okay. Oh, hey. Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I actually watched your coaching call with Corinne today.
Okay.
So that I kind of knew what was going on because they had told me that you might be back on tonight. So I'm glad you came on.
Yeah, I didn't realize until that call that this was an issue. So this will be interesting.
Okay. So it's about work, right? It's
about work. And I've been there a year and a half, and I hated it pretty much from the beginning, but I was trying to remember what Britt said about, like, you can't, like, it's a circumstance, your job, and you shouldn't leave something when you're in the middle of, like, hating it. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I did a lot of work to show up and, you know, do what was expected of me and try to not necessarily avoid people who are trying to emotionally hijack me, but more so not let it affect me.
Okay.
And I feel like I do a good job of showing up to meetings or whatever and doing things and not letting it happen. But I mean, it's still not my favorite place. And I guess I didn't realize until Sunday that I was still using, I was using the food as a reward because I still don't like it.
Okay. Okay, so let's kind of work your model here because I know Corinne asked you to kind of come up with your thoughts about your job, right? So, so right now this is your unintentional where you're like overeating, overdrinking.
Yes.
After work.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it just kind of work in general? Is it something specific or a specific person you work with or anything like that?
It's more like work in general. We're going through like, a reorganization process.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not clear. So you just know, like, things will change in a major way. So major way, meaning that my job may exist or may not exist in 6 months. Or it may be a completely different job. So I know it's coming. I just don't know when it's going to come and what exactly it's going to look like. And so you have, you know, when things like that happen, you have a lot of people like gossiping or trying to figure it out. And so it's that environment. And kind of just feeling like in general, since I got there, that the work I do, that it doesn't matter and that's important to me.
Okay. My work doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it doesn't matter?
I guess because these changes, I don't, maybe because of the result of these changes that are happening, they don't seem to be, so I work at a college, so it doesn't seem to be in the best interest of students, but more so of money. And so the type of work that I do, I work with women, and I work mostly with like sexual assaults and things like that. And I just, when people talk about it, they just, I don't know, I guess talk about it in a black and white way, and everything else seems to be like, oh, that's just frivolous. We don't need to think about those things. Those are not important to students, and we could just cut that out. So I guess because of these changes that are going to happen, that my job is going to change, tells me that it doesn't matter. That's the thought I'm having about it.
Okay. So work, let's see, maybe like cuts, maybe like budget cuts.
Yeah.
I think, cause I used to work at a university too. So I know about that. That's happening all over the place. So, okay. So my work doesn't matter. So, how does that feel? How does that thought feel?
I want to say indifferent, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
What? How do you feel that leads you to then go home and overeat and overdrink?
What's a good feeling for like feeling like you're wasting your time? Mm-hmm. What's a good word for that?
Let me grab this this feelings wheel.
Okay.
How about this?
No.
Okay. It's on the website. If you just go onto the website and you search feelings wheel, it will come up and you can print it out. But it's a whole list of a million different feelings. So, and you know, positive and negative, powerless. I was thinking like useless, inadequate, inferior, insignificant, threatened, insecure.
I would go with insignificant.
Insignificant, okay. But again, is that the feeling that leads you to do this action?
I guess so. Part of it happens during work. So the part, the overeating that happens at work is more so like, ooh, I've been here for 4 hours. I'm halfway through. I did it. I need something to get me through the next 4 hours.
Like, I deserve it.
Yeah, it's more entitlement. And then when I get home, it's like, okay, well, I did that whole day. I just need to relax.
Okay. So that's, those are kind of all different models, right? I mean, those are kind of, and I want you to, you know the model, right? Mm-hmm. So I want you to work on all these models because you've got a bunch of different thoughts.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, at work, and it could be like, it could almost be kind of like during the day. And then it could also be, you know, when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it sounds like there's different thoughts and feelings both times, you know, or at different times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just, it's all about, you know, feeling insignificant, feeling entitled, justified in your choices. So it's almost kind of like one model leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. So you want to kind of work on you know, getting aware of all those that are that are resulting in that, you know, that action and that result that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like you can kind of clean up one model, but then it's like you leave the door open. Well, but I still deserve it because I got, you know, and so you want to just do, you know, get it all out there.
And I think that's what happened here because the model that I've been focusing on most is I just don't want to go is the thought.
Mm-hmm.
So that was leading me to just be like, okay, well, forget it. And then I just wouldn't go to work, or I would show up late, or I would show up with a bad attitude.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like there can be so many different thoughts at play, like just as like real simple thoughts, like I just don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can go, I mean, and then it can really get, you can kind of peel back another layer and it's like, my work doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can peel back another layer and be like, even something like I don't matter. You know, you can kind of get deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm not saying that's your thought, but it's just like, you know, there, it's just a matter of peeling back those layers. Yeah. But, you know, all of those thoughts are leading you to results that you don't want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm also trying to think, because you said, like, why doesn't it matter? I mean, I had a situation last summer where someone said that I stole money, and it became this whole, like, investigation. Mm-hmm. And of course, because I still have the job, like, it was found out that it was false, but I just felt like from that moment that if it was that easy for someone to accuse me of something so big, then what stops someone from accusing me of something else? And why am I here? And why am I still working here?
Mm-hmm. And again, that's a whole nother model, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to kind of come up with every kind of different circumstance. I mean, that's just that's a whole nother circumstance.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like, you know, really just the facts of what happened. Someone, you know, said something. I wouldn't even say accused, but maybe, you know, just, what were the facts of the situation? And then what did you make it mean then? What do you make it mean now? That's what's important, is what you make it mean now, for you. And then what, you know, what that leads to in terms of the result. But yeah, it's all about, you know, the result is you're not, you know, you're not either not going to work, or you're not, you know, enjoying your work, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and again, like I was saying to somebody else earlier, it's all, I mean, the key for you right now is, you know, cause I know Corinne gave you some actions in terms of, you know, how to, you know, kind of clean up some of your overeating and stuff kind of gradually. And I think that's good for you. But I think at the same time, I want you to work on this work too. And just in terms of, you know, really just opening your awareness to what's going on, for work. But I don't want you to move, you know, too quickly to, you know, this rainbow and daisies kind of intentional model, but just to kind of think about what you could think about your job. About, you know, let's say nothing changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have days where you do have positive thoughts about your job?
So the model that I've been, like, that gets me to go to work is the thought is, my job is my investor. Now, it doesn't feel like rainbows and sunshine, but it's enough to be like, okay, well, gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, again, that's kind of a stepping stone thing, right? It's like, okay, that's you know, if that's working for you right now to get you in the door, then, you know, that's working for, like, this is a paycheck. I like to have food to eat. I like the lights on, you know? So that is, yeah. And if that's working for you, again, to kind of get you in the door, but then it sounds like after that, your thoughts kind of start to, you know, kind of go down the tube. So it's just a matter of, like, okay, how could you step up, you know, your thoughts? And I'm thinking, like I was talking about with Christy in the last call, you know, think about the good that you have done so far, you know, in terms of your work. I'm sure that you've helped a lot of women.
Yeah.
And to kind of reflect on your career that way, and, you know, just kind of remind yourself that you have mattered, that you do matter there.
Yeah.
And so that's something you can kind of do some work on. And then, you know, with the specific thing about the cuts, how do you want to think about that?
So I've just been thinking, like, well, the plan is I won't be here when that happens. But if for some reason I am here, no matter the job, I can do it. It's the thought I've been going with. Mm-hmm. I believe that to be true.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, because leaving is changing your circumstance, right?
Yeah, but it's my boyfriend will be moving away, and I'll be moving with with him. That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and that's totally fine, right? But it's like your circumstance doesn't have to change.
Right.
For, you know, for you to feel better and for you to, you know, to think differently. So, because, you know, you never know what's gonna come. And so it's all about the thoughts and the feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of wherever you are, you know, because it's like, you know, we think the grass is always greener, right? But it's like, no, it's like, and just like you said, just like Brooke said, we have to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not love it, but we have to, at least, you know,
be neutral at least.
Be, you know, be in a place where it's, again, it's all about these results, right? Like you mm-hmm. want to lose weight. You want to be losing weight. You want to, you know, be coming home every day and, you know, following your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, what is it going to take for me to, you know, to get there?
And, yeah.
And again, over time, you can kind of level up your thoughts. But for you right now, it's like, I can do this. I can get my job done.
Mm-hmm.
I like a paycheck.
Yes.
You know, that's the reality for you right now. And it's just like, okay. Let's
do it. And I have a business on the side. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been trying to say, like, yes, it helps. This gives me a paycheck. It gives me stability. It's just trying to remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I mean, and really come up with a really good list or something you can kind of carry around or put on your phone or something where it's like when you, because I mean, your brain's going to forget, right? It's going to forget, right. Like, when something happens or you hear about, you know, another cut or whatever, your brain's going to immediately want to go to all the crappy thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So just like come up with a really good, like, you know, one page thing on your phone or something on the notes app or whatever, where it's like, you know, I, you know, this is, I like this paycheck. It help it provides from, you know, provides all this stuff for me. It allows me to, you know, to have this business, you know, that I'm working on, you know, all these kind of stuff to just things to kind of remind you of why you're there.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a constant reminder that you can go back. It's like, it's kind of like your compelling reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like with weight loss, it's like, what's your compelling reason for going to work every day?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have a bunch of them that you can kind of just, you never know which one will kind of get you that day, but it's like, yeah, I do like having electricity at my house. You know, I think I'll just get back to work. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that's the biggest thing right now.
I think you got plenty to work on. I've given you a bunch of stuff. And I want you to listen back at this too.
Okay.
And, you know, just kind of really, you could even kind of make a list of like, okay, what do I want to do TDLs on? What do I want to do models on? And don't, you know, don't get overwhelmed with that. It's just,
yeah.
No, it's just your work to do, you know, over time. So,
okay.
You've got a great start for sure.
Okay.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Christy asks, let's see. Did we talk about that? I think this is a really good question, though. We talked some about this, Christy. Can you talk more about sitting with the, I think you meant unintentional model before moving on to the intentional model with respect to why and how. What is the reason for sitting with it? And when do we know we are ready to move on to the intentional model? That's a really good question. And I talked some about this earlier, but it's, oh my gosh, y'all are like writing like novels here in the chat. So I definitely want to read that too. So here's the deal with like the unintentional and the intentional, right? I mean, the key, the first step is that you have to recognize and become aware of what isn't working for you or what, you know, what you're doing right now that is not creating the result that you want. So, but the key is to recognize that, be aware of that, and then not beat yourself up and not want to just immediately change it because you think that you're broken or you think that, you know, you just want to change it because things are wrong. And, you know, I want to go from bad to good and that kind of stuff. It's all about just really sitting with that unintentional model and being, okay, these are the choices that I'm making right now. And that's totally okay. and I do want a new result, but right now I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm aware of what is going on right now, why it's create. You want to understand why the unintentional model is creating the result that you don't want. And it's just sitting in that model for a while. And you know, if and kind of experience, you know, just letting your body kind of experience the shame, the embarrassment, the hurt. You know, it's all about practicing feeling feelings from, you know, all the entire spectrum of feelings, right? And so, yeah. So it's just like, it's almost kind of becoming that unintentional model becomes intentional for a while, where it's just like, okay, this is why things are the way they are. And that's okay. And I'm just going to let myself feel it for a little bit and accept it as just something for me to work on and be okay with it. So that's the importance of just staying with the unintentional model for a while. And so then you can kind of work on gradually working on an intentional model. And again, it's not the rainbows and daisies. It's maybe moving to a neutral feeling at first. A good example is like when you look in the mirror, right? Like, so the C would be your reflection in the mirror. Or just like, you know, I look in the mirror. So an example we use a lot is, I hate my body. And that can be shame, hate, something like that. And then you overeat. And then that creates the result is you still hate your body, right? And so then to kind of get to a neutral place, it's I have a body. And that's kind of this bridging, right? We talk about like bridging or laddering thoughts, bridging thoughts. We usually use that term where it's like, I have a body. I'm working on, I'm working on believing something. That can kind of be a bridging thought, right? So you can have a bunch of models in between your unintentional and your final intentional model. So, and that's kind of what I was talking to Marvette about. So, and by the way, y'all, raise your hand. I have a few more minutes if anybody else wants to get coached. And so that's a neutral place. And then from that neutral place, you know, you kind of choose your actions there in terms of, you know, just, you know, journaling or just kind of thinking, you know, really kind of exploring your body in terms of, you know, what you might like about your body and things like that, or just, you know, really just getting curious about that. And the result is, you know, you have a body, right? You just recognize that you have a body, you have that awareness. And then that's when you can move, you know, I'm working on learning to love my body. I'm working on learning to like my body. I mean, that's another kind of bridging model there. And then eventually you get to, I love my body. But, you know, that can be over time, over years. So you just kind of go gradually through maybe even a bunch of different models. So that was a good question. Okay, let me look in here in this chat and see if I can find. We got the weather. It's cold. Let me get the chat out so I can see it a little bit better. Uncomfortable action. Think about one day at a time. yeah, some people think about one day at a time. Some people wing it. Some people, you know, we're all different in that way. Christy, that's good. You'd rather be in the discomfort of action than the discomfort of inaction. Love that. Let's see. Interesting, a conversation here. Okay, Amaka has decided to sit with discomfort. Awesome. Stacy. Okay, Stacy, you said that there was something at the beginning that you put in here, and I don't see it. So, Stacy, if you're back, let me see if you're back. Sorry, y'all, but y'all, yeah, so anybody can raise their hand. We got another few minutes. Let's see. Thank you, Dana. Y'all are talking about CBT. We're getting all social worky in here. Okay, this is a good question, Jessica. Y'all, there's just so much to read here. Dana? This is an interesting chat here. Interesting conversation. Okay, I'm not going to just sit here and read all this stuff, but let's see. I did see a question in here. Does anyone else feel kind of dumb that they can't figure out these things on their own? When I get on a call, oh, good. Okay, we got a couple of people. When I get on a call or I post in a group, I think, why couldn't I figure that out on my own? Jessica, quit saying that, because someone was telling me today. Because sometimes I think that, right? Where it's like, I'm a coach. I should figure this out on my own. And my friend who's a coach said, that's why all coaches have coaches. Because it's so easy for us to listen to y'all's questions and to really, you know, put them into the model and see things totally objectively because we don't have your drama. And, you know, I have my own drama. And so it's like when we have our own drama around things that are going on with us, we always need someone from the outside to just kind of see it in a different way and put it into in a more objective way. So don't ever think that, you know, you're going to have it all figured out one day, that you'll be able to coach yourself on. You'll be able to coach yourself on a lot. I mean, you know, through TDLs and through all of that, you're learning to coach yourself, right? And ideally, you want to be able to coach yourself through most stuff, but every once in a while, there's something that's going to come up where you just can't take your drama out of, and all your thoughts and everything out of something, because you just have so many thoughts and emotions tied up in that. And so that's where you need a coach to help you kind of unravel all that stuff. So, Mary, I really think I need to do a lot of thought work on body image. I've done, you've lost 123 pounds, Mary, and you still feel mentally that I'm 300 pounds and it causes self-judgment and makes me uneasy of how I look. Okay. So that's the thing. That's why, you know, you've got to incorporate the thought work into, you know, as you're losing weight, right? And so, because, you know, you can get down to, you know, whatever weight, but if you still have those thoughts that, you know, I'm fat, I'm not good enough, I'll never keep this weight off, all of that kind of stuff, that's really where your work is, Mary. So if you want to, get on or, just get on a coaching call at some point, we can work on your thoughts around yourself, because it's like, it's not about the number on the scale, right? Whether it's, you know, 150 pounds or 300 pounds. It's all about how you're thinking about yourself. So that is key. All right, Brooke, your hand is raised. Get you on here. Okay, I'll go back and read that chat. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. You were on. When were you on?
I was on last week.
Okay, I knew I'd seen you.
Yes, I was on last week, and thank you for being patient. Last week was my first Zoom call, and I had no idea what I was doing.
Well, you're an old pro now.
Yeah, I'm back with, like, you know, 1% knowledge.
Right.
So last week, I actually, I did a recovery worksheet over the weekend, and it was great. I actually explored my reasons and that sort of thing, and I was really happy. So thank you for that feedback. Mm-hmm. My question today is, I've got a gnarly headache, and mm-hmm. on my plan for the day was to go to the gym after work, mm-hmm. and I just don't feel good, which... that to me should be reason enough to not go to the gym. Like, if I'm not feeling good, it's going to make it worse, whatever. I can't get over this, like, guilt. And I think it's because I spent so many years rationalizing, not sticking to any sort of plan or not doing what I really should be doing. And so I hear Corinne in the back of my head, like, make a decision, love your reasons, yes. and move on.
That's just what I was gonna say.
So I'm doing that, but I still feel that guilt, and I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know how to move on.
Well, I think the key, it's this whole, I don't know if you read Finish or if you heard about that book, Finish. It's
I
all about
read it yet.
Yeah, but it's all about this day after perfect, where, like, you're so, you know, you just done so well, and then, like, a day comes where something happens and, you know, you mess up or what, you not mess up, but, you know, just something happens. And the key is what you do, like, the next day. And so for you, it is like, it's first off, it's just being okay that guilt is going to come up. The thoughts are going to come up that, you know, this is different. This is, you know, what am I supposed to do here? I'm freaking out, that kind of stuff. And yes, it's totally like making a decision and liking your reason. But you have to just practice that. It's like the guilt is going to come up, and then it's like, no, I've decided I'm not going to go work out because I have a headache and I'm going to take care of myself today, or whatever thought it is. And then that creates a feeling of, you know, however you want to feel in terms of confidence or just, you know, decisive or whatever. But then I think the key for you is, because in the past, maybe you've skipped one workout, and then that led to just totally
years of not working out.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be a little quit.
Right. And so, but you can decide whether it's a little quit or not, because, like, it's not a little quit if you just decide, I'm sick, I don't feel well, I'm going to take care of myself and not work out. It becomes a little quit when you don't, the next day or whenever, you don't go back to working out again. And so that is the key, is like, okay, I'm not going to work out today, but, and I like my reason, but then the next time it's time to work out, I'm going to go back and do it, even though it's going to feel like weird that I have, you know, I didn't go yesterday and I'm going today or whatever, but I'm just going to push through that and just, you know. So the key is to get back, just like when you eat off plan, to get back on the plan. It's just very uncomfortable at first. You want to just, you know, you want to keep quitting. You want to quit altogether. And when you get back on the plan, it's uncomfortable at first, but then, because you're doing something new, but then you're back on and you move forward.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, and it's also kind of, you know, not overthinking it too. Like, you know, you don't feel well, and actually go into, Corinne has done a couple of lives and, or something like, on working out when you're sick, and see if you can search for that, and then, like, maybe post and ask coaches or something, like, if you can't find it, and I'll look around for it. But she's done some talking on that in terms of, like, you know, kind of your decision making process. Like, but the thing is that you know your body, and you know what you need to do, and you know. And then if you know, you just, at some point you just need to make a decision, and then it comes from a place of, you know, of love and, you know, caring for yourself.
Right.
And then you're just committed to getting back to it when you decide to.
Yeah, like legitimately, I don't feel good, and I know it's going to make it worse, and I don't want to feel worse than I already do, and so I'm good with that. And then I'm like, oh, but maybe you're just being lazy. Maybe you're just finding reasons. Maybe you're
and like your brain is just like, that's totally normal for your brain to like go back to that, just to go, but you just got to redirect. No, I'm taking care of myself. Just kind of come up with a good little statement for to redirect your brain to. Nope, the decision is made. I'm not going. You know, brain, we're not doing this. And then you just keep redirecting.
Like a little temper tantrum.
It's a little your brain is having a little temper tantrum because it wants to, you know, it just wants to be okay because this is something new that you're doing. And
yeah, my brain doesn't want to work out. It just wants to make me feel bad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't want to work out, but then it wants to make you feel bad. And it's like, this is all new territory. Where it's like, oh my God, I'm going to not work out and then also not feel bad about it. What? This is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And and so that's what's going on. Totally normal, totally what's supposed to be happening. And it's just an opportunity, but it's fun to kind of see it as an opportunity to like redirect your brain over and over again.
Okay. Well, I redirected from a cookie today.
Oh, awesome. You're getting all kinds of practice today then.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate you.
Take care. Hope your headache gets better. Take care of yourself.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Let's see. Okay. It's like not knowing where to start. Like, that's why I listen and watch. I find them helpful in doing my plans. I'm not sure what that is. Yes, Jessica, you can decide if it's a little quid or not. It's a little quid is just a thought, right? And you get to decide what a little quid is. You can also decide a little quid is just a decision you're making. And that's best for you, right? And it's just like, you're saying, I'm so afraid of every decision, maybe being a little quit. And it's like, that's again, like you're looking for something outside of yourself to say, yes, that's a little quit. Well, no, that's not what happens. You decide what a little quit is or is not. And, you know, you may want to do some journaling on that and write down like, okay, how do I define a little quit? With Brooke, that was not a little quit. That was a decision that she made that was best for her health and best for her today. And so that was not a little quit. That was just a decision that she made. So, yeah, so kind of do some work on that. And it's like, okay, what's a little quit versus what's just a decision I'm making that's best for me? And the whole key is what's best for me. So we're talking about cognitive behavioral therapy, which y'all, oh my gosh. So Christy will, I don't know, this may be a different Christy that's talking. Anyway, that's kind of like part of my story with just kind of how I became a coach, because I studied cognitive behavioral therapy in my MSW, my master's of social work program. And it made so much sense to me. And then I actually went through therapy where I did it, you know, and it's all about like, you know, looking at your thoughts, right? And how they affect your behavior and all this kind of stuff. So it's just like the model, right? But it just, you know, was said in a different way. But I knew when I, as a career at that point, I just wasn't interested in doing kind of one-on-one clinical work. I was really interested in other areas of social work. So, but then when I found out about coaching and I got coached myself and it was so much like cognitive behavioral therapy, it just everything kind of came full circle and it was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense to me. It's benefited me and now I can work with other people. So, okay. Another Christy. So we got nurses and social workers and all kinds of folks on here. So, okay, guys, it's almost time and my dinner is waiting on me. Oh my gosh, we got other social workers on here. Existentialist philosophy. I mean, we are just doing some like deep chatting here. Awesome. Okay, y'all. Anything else before I get off of here? Y'all put in the Q&A if you want me to answer something specific. Answer, I'm going to let y'all chat in here. Jessica's an actuary, so she's out of the loop. Well, you're doing all this thought work, so you're basically, we're all like little, our own little psychologists or whatever, right? I have to say, I like being a coach much better. I love the concept of a coach, y'all. And this is the whole thing about, since I've got a few minutes, I'm just going to blab here for a minute. But I love the term coach, because when I think about myself as a coach, I think about all of you in PNP as like, we're all on this team together, right? It's like, I kind of equate it to like being a basketball coach or some sort of sports coach, right? It's like, I'm a coach for everyone in PNP. And so the first thing is that you have to, like when you're coaching a team, you know, people like volunteer to be on a team, right? I mean, so I don't coach people that aren't on the team. So that means that like when, you know, my friends and family and everyone else outside of PNP, it's not my place to coach them. Unless they ask me specifically, it's just not my place. And that's something I'm working on. And that's actually maybe something good for you all to remember too, that like, you know, in PNP, you know, you sign up to be coached. If you get on a coaching call and all that, you're asking for it, right? Or if you post in the Facebook group, post and ask a coach, you know, you're asking for coaching. But your friends and your family aren't asking for it usually, unless they just specifically say, I want you to, you know, work on some of that thought work with me. So I kind of learned that an interesting way with my best friend. And she just straight out said, I don't want you to coach me right now. I just want you to be my friend. And so from that moment on, I realized, okay, even though I just totally believe in all this stuff and I know that it can help people and everyone that I love, it is not my role to coach people. So yeah, so I just feel like, you know, you all are all on this PNP team. I am one of your coaches. And so, but you know, like I can't be out on the court with you all to, you know, when you play the game, right? You all are out in the world, you know, doing your thing, working and being in relationships and parenting children and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just back here as your coach, kind of watching from the sidelines and, you know, cheering you on and, you know, showing you your thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So, but you can do that for yourself, right? When you coach yourself, you're out here in the world, like living life, but you can be on the sidelines kind of watching yourself and figuring out kind of what's working, what's not working, and then coaching yourself by doing TDLs and models, and then also reaching out to us as coaches as well. So I think it's just an interesting way to see all of us as our own coach, and then for us as coaches to see as, you know, how we can coach you to the best. So just love that. All right, guys, I'm going to go get some dinner. I'm so glad you feel glad that you were here tonight, Jessica. That's awesome. All right, guys, loved all the interesting chat, and y'all have a good night. Let's see. Kathy will be back on Saturday for office hours again. Corinne will be on coaching by, you know, folks that have signed up for her to coach tomorrow at noon, I do believe. And then, like I said, Kathy will be on, Corinne will be live in the morning. I think she'll be live the rest of the week in the morning. She'll be on her public live tomorrow morning, and then Thursday and Friday she'll be doing lives. Just check the calendar to be sure and get on. So we're doing it, y'all. We're doing the work. So all right, this was fun. Talk to you later. Bye.